Well, I had a beautiful parents. I'm an only child and raised in a small farm town in Iowa. And they were Catholic, and I was baptized in the Catholic Church and very, very devout. I was kind of a religious nut even as a kid. Some people might say I still am a religious nut, but anyway, I wanted to be a priest. And if people are younger that happened to have either previously been Catholic or are Catholic, I mean, this was in the 50s. And this is before Vatican II. It was a very different Catholic Church than what people see today. And it was very high church, very reverential, full of incense and all kinds of stuff. And so everything was going pretty well. And then I, when I was probably 10 years old or so, I was out going Halloween trick-or-treating. And this is when things started to go south. And again, there was no talk of this being dangerous. I'm part, probably half Irish. And the Irish basically brought Halloween to America. A lot of people don't know this, but Halloween was illegal in America prior to the late 19th century. But this flood of Irish immigrants came in, which, you know, most people are familiar with. And they brought, of course, Catholicism with them. And they brought a lot of them, you know, because we Irish are very superstitious. And, you know, there's this whole thing with the pukas and the leprechauns and the wee people and the she and all of that. And along with that came Halloween. And so Halloween became a thing. And then the marketing people took it in the 1950s. So I'm out here trick-or-treating with my friend on Halloween night. And I look up in the sky and I see this, instead of the stars, which was there moments ago, I see this arch overhead like this huge dome full of leathery black winged creatures, hundreds of them, like a cave full of bats. Not that I'd ever been in a cave full of bats. And just to say this parenthetically, I had not ever seen a horror movie. First of all, there weren't that many back then, and my mother and father would never let me watch them. So I had no context for this. And these things looking down at me, they opened their eyes, and their eyes were like ruby red fire. And I could feel their eyes somehow penetrating my heart and my soul. And I felt this like chill and thrill at the same time that I did not understand. Again, I was probably 11 or 10 or 12, somewhere in there. And then my friend who had kept walking, he turned back at me and saw me gaping up at the sky. And he said, "Hey, Bill, what are you doing?" And I looked at him and I looked up and it was all gone. And I just sort of shivered. You know, it was like this weird moment. But looking back on that, and also, you know, over the years, I talked to a lot of people that do deliverance, and we do deliverance. It was an open doorway. I was touched by evil that night. And my innocent little childhood soul was defiled. And this is the danger of these various, you know, quasi-occult or occult practices, is that they can be, at the time, they seem relatively inconsequential. But I tell people, it's a little like, you know, when you hit a golf ball. If you're just off by like a 16th of an inch when you hit the ball, by the time it goes down on the field, the fairway, it could be, you know, 40 or 50 feet into the rough. And that's what happened with my life, just this small, creepy thing that happened turned into a huge miss spiritually on my part.
Yeah. Okay. So let's actually go there. So that was your introduction to the supernatural realm. When were you introduced into the occult?
When I was in eighth grade, this sister nun, Sister Mary Gloria, she knew I was, my mother brought me up with a love of reading and especially a love of mystery stories. You know, Sherlock Holmes, Ellery Queen, Nero Wolfe, all of that stuff. And this nun knew I was into mysteries, and she gave me this book to read. It was a little paperback book. She said, "This is True Life Mysteries." And it was called Strangest of All. It's by Frank Edwards. I can still see the cover of the book in my head. And I don't know if you've heard of that book or not, but it's what is called in the genre of Fortean literature. There was this guy back in the early part of the 20th century named Charles Fort. And before there was Ripley's Believe It or Not, he started putting together these books full of weird stuff, true, supposedly weird stuff from around the country, haunted houses, you know, haunted cemeteries. I don't think he got into UFOs because that wasn't really a thing until 1947, but that kind of thing. And Frank Edwards picked up on that same genre, if you will. And this book was full of stories about haunted houses, parapsychology, telepathy, and it really fascinated me. And so I started getting into this stuff, and I joined, believe it or not, there was this organization back then called NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, which was one of the earliest things that were studying flying saucers, UFOs. And I joined that when I was 16 years old. So I've been studying UFOs for 50 years. And all of this stuff, and I got into parapsychology, and all this before I got out of high school. Then, when I got to college, and see, this is what the devil does. He gradually introduces things deeper and deeper and deeper, but slowly.